Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to another episode of the Two Brothers Gaming Podcast. This is episode 161 here with Rylan eating gushers.
Yeah, I'm eating gushers right now. But make sure to join our Discord. I know you guys hate our Discord. You like despise it for some reason. But go ahead and join our Discord. You know, we're trying to build a community, but you guys don't want to be a part of our community. Which sucks, but I'm going to keep saying it until you join them. So, join our Discord.
All right, we'll go ahead and start. SteamOS is getting ready to release for non-Steam Deck handhelds, so like Windows handhelds.
So, is it just going to be how like the Steam Deck operating system is just for Windows?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. Well, instead of Windows, it'll be running SteamOS. You'll have to boot into SteamOS instead of Windows.
Oh, so you can pick between them now?
Kinda. You have to go into BIOS on your PC and stuff. It's not like simple. You can't just go on the Windows.
Of course, and it's not. It. You gotta do it through the BIOS. Nothing simple.
I've ran SteamOS on a old Dell laptop I had before a couple years ago. I got it to boot into it, and it's pretty good, but it's SteamOS is just another fork of Linux.
It's just limited, you know. You can't do as much.
I don't care a whole lot for Linux.
But it says here, you know, we know that before too long, Valve is breaking SteamOS away, you know, from just being on the Steam Deck. And it looks that day is, you know, obviously coming very soon. And the patch notes for the latest preview build of SteamOS version 3.7.0. There's a single line among fairly meaty changes that pricks up the ears. beginnings of support of non-Steam Deck handhelds. Which that was in their patch notes. That's pretty cool, though, that they're doing that.
Yeah, and it just shows you what type of company Valve is. Like, they're not...
Yeah, but they're not stingy, you know?
Right. Kind of like...
Which is good, though.
Nintendo comes to mind like that. I mean, I understand Nintendo, like, they don't want to share their IPs or nothing, and I don't want them to because Mario is not supposed to be on an Xbox. So,
no.
Like,
imagine Mario on an Xbox.
Yeah. The only way Mario's on an Xbox is if it's getting emulated.
Yeah. That just ruins the whole aspect.
Yeah. You think of Mario, obviously you think of Nintendo and on a Nintendo system, so
yeah,
you don't think of it on an Xbox.
Mario on the Xbox.
Yeah.
Like,
just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, just that would be weird.
Yeah.
But it says here that this version... That's not to say, obviously, this version is going to be the first version of SteamOS that will hit non-Valve handhelds. In fact, the way, you know, it's worded would lead you, you know, towards it not being, you know, the version that they're going to put for, you know, other handhelds. But we'll see, obviously. But it says here, the Lenovo Legion Go S is the first partner piece of hardware that, you know, will have a version that ships with SteamOS.
So you don't even have to go in the BIOS to boot into it on this system, which they're making the system Windows or SteamOS. You got to pick which one you want.
Yeah, obviously you should pick Windows, but
yeah.
if and you don't, you
can boot into it if you pick the SteamOS, but like I said, you just have to go in the BIOS to do it, which a lot of people don't know how to do.
You got to figure that out. It takes a little bit to learn a PC, especially file-wise and stuff like that, you know. It's complicated at times. Ashton, he's a pro. He's a pro at files.
Yeah. But, it took a lot of learning. You know, you just got to do it to learn it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can't be afraid of messing stuff up because you're not going to learn if you're scared.
You got to learn, yeah. You got to learn. That's with everything, though, you know.
Yeah.
But it says here, SteamOS is also being geared up for official release as a piece of software. Folks who, you know, own other brand of handhelds like the Rogue Ally, Lenovo Legion Go, can download and install themselves to make their own Steam Deck. So instead of buying a Steam Deck, you can just have your handheld PC, and you can make it a Steam Deck yourself.
A more powerful Steam Deck.
Yeah, way more powerful Steam Deck, but it's a Steam Deck, which is awesome. So you can have your own custom. Say if you just had an extra handheld laying around. Say if you had the Rogue Ally X, and you want to just you wanted to have a you know Steam Deck, but you didn't want to spend the money to get one, so you can just make your regular original Rogue Ally that because you probably had the original Rogue Ally before the X, and then you could, you know, just put SteamOS on your original Ally. Obviously, the battery is not good, but you got chargers, man. You got chargers.
Yeah, the cord's four.
Yep. It says here also, you can already do this to some degree using Bazit, which is a third-party Linux distro that has been built to mimic the UI and behavior of SteamOS. You know, this guy said he hasn't tried it himself. He might have tried it now. I don't know. I'm not him. But he said he's heard good things about it from his colleague and stuff like that. So he's heard it's good, this software. But the anti-cheat and other compatibility issues alongside, you know, SteamOS is just better to use on a handheld right now. The handheld UI is incredibly, and Linux is just, you know, better at not gobbling up all available system resources. Because SteamOS, it does kind of limit everything. Unlike right. Windows, you know, it's all there, power.
Yeah, it's just like it's treating it like it's a full blown PC, not just a handheld PC.
Yeah, that's why on Windows probably can't run 2K.
Yeah,
but
maybe you should put SteamOS on your Ally.
Maybe, and then I might be able to run 2K on it. Because it like full blown puts all power into it, you know. It doesn't limit anything. It's like, oh, you have a good PC, apparently. I'm going to send all the power.
And it's just 2K2 not being very good at optimized for other systems.
Yeah, they need to fix that. Ronnie, quit focusing on VC.
Oh, he's
washed at 2K, so have you seen clips of him
playing? No.
I've seen a clip of him on TikTok. Was in this guy's lobby, this TikToker's lobby, and then he kept breaking. He was like 3 for 16.
There go.
It's washed. But it says here, while Valve is busy, you know, laying the groundwork for other handhelds, it's not only important in development in its later version of SteamOS, which you can try on your Steam Deck right now, but soon you can try it on, you know, other handhelds. But other key points are, you know, they updated to a newer Arch Linux base. They updated the Linux kernel to 6.11. They updated the Mesa graphics driver base. And desktop mode now ships with Plasma 6.2.5. Normal people, you know, will never need to care about any of those, like me. But, it says here, it's just better than ever. SteamOS is just better than ever. Like, power-wise, just everything. Performance-wise and stuff like that. But the desktop upgrade is a move that, you know, to a full new point of release of KDE Plasma, which is significant. I don't really know what that is. What is Plasma?
I don't know. I don't run Linux.
Sounds weird. Like a bomb or something.
Plasma TV.
No. Might be. Something like that. I have no idea. It says here it's also sneaking its way and is a feature, you know, currently exclusive to the Steam Deck OLED, wherein your Bluetooth controller is able to wake a Steam Deck LCD up from sleep. So you can have it docked, but if you just like tap your controller, it'll turn on. So they're going to add that feature too, apparently. Which is pretty cool, I mean. So it's kind of like an Xbox.
Probably.
Like, you just got a black screen or something, just bam. But it says here it won't be too long before this release hits, you know, obviously the stable channel. Though, as of yet, the bigger weight is on the news of the beta of SteamOS. You know, for other handhelds, it's going to be, you know, the kickoff. But it's definitely coming, and obviously, soon enough. Maybe, who knows, next month. I call it next month. Maybe. There'll be, SteamOS might be fully on every handheld PC. That's obviously powerful enough to run it and stuff. But, you know, cheap laptop might not be able to run SteamOS and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, move on.
But, yeah, that's all I have.
I can read this one if you want.
Sure.
I don't read very much on here.
Ashton doesn't read. He listens and talks a little bit. See, it's the Ryland podcast.
I'll read this. The Xbox 360 exploit, let you soft mod the 360 with just a USB flash drive instead of having to install mod chip and solder and stuff. So
you can just use a little.
Yep, just drive? Flash drive. Yep.
How'd they do that?
Oh, we'll read and find
the crap. That's weird.
Xbox 360 modders have discovered a new way to get homebrew apps and games running on the console. A new software only exploit known as Bad Update allows you to use a USB key to hack past Microsoft's hypervisor protections and run unsigned code in games. Modern Vintage Gamer, which is a good YouTuber if you guys haven't watched him, I watch him quite a bit. He has tested Bad Update and found that you don't even have to open up your Xbox 360 console to get it running. Unlike RGH or JTAG exploits for the Xbox 360, this Bad Update method just requires a USB drive. If you have the time and patience to get this running successfully, you'll be able to run the Xbox 360 Homebrew Store, which includes games, apps, emulators, utilities, and even custom dashboards.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Oh, so it's not just like the Xbox 360, it's everything, like emulators and all that?
Yeah, you can get, that's what the homebrew community is. Like, if you hack a system, like say my Wii U, you can get a bunch of stuff running on it. Like, I have, you can get GameCube games on the Wii U from hacking it and stuff, and you could get I'm sure they have GameCube emulator for 360 as well. But it says there are some limitations, though. If you want to take advantage of Bad Update, then you'll also need to manually patch every executable you want to run on your Xbox 360. Modern Vintage
Gamer.
So you're going
to have to do, like, manual updates and stuff?
I'm not sure.
Is that what that means?
You have to go watch Modern Vintage Gamer's video on it.
No, do that.
It says,
check him out, everyone.
Yeah, he's a good YouTuber. Says Modern Vintage Gamer says the exploit isn't always reliable either, or takes some time to pull off, as this exploit Microsoft's custom hypervisor on the Xbox 360. You'll also need to run this exploit every single time you boot up the console, which is, it makes sense. Yeah. Says you'll just need a USB key, the exploit code, and a trial version of Rock Band Blitz that helps enable the bypass. Modern Vintage Gamer walks through all the steps in his detailed YouTube video, and there's a brief guide on the GitHub repository that houses the software-only exploit. So this is a big deal for Xbox 360 hacking or modding, whatever you want to call it, because it used to be the only way to hack a 360 was to install a mod chip with soldering and stuff, and a lot of people are scared of soldering because they're scared of messing up their consoles.
Yeah, I mean, you could mess up your console doing that.
You
gotta be careful.
Like, I solder stuff, so I mean, I could do it, but
I should just like that.
Yeah. If there's a way to do it without, I'll take that route. But if there's not, then I will solder. But
yeah.
So I just wanted to talk about that. And of course, you said, you know, it's early, so it's not completely reliable. And there's some things you gotta, like you said, you gotta patch all the executables. So that's just how modding goes. You know, in the future, all that won't even be an issue. Like, it'll be easy to do it. Like, it just advances over the years, you know.
Yeah,
it'll get better. So you don't have to patch every executable, and that it will be more reliable.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
All right, move on then. Switch 2 patent shows some upscaling on, well, obviously the Switch 2.
Yeah. I mean, says here, maybe something about AI.
Yeah,
or something.
Upscale by AI. Yeah.
Hold it real quick. Had to space out something. It was messed up. It says here, though the idea of AI upscaling, you know, for the new console is, you know, not a new one. With a previous patent, you know, explicitly mentioning NVIDIA's DLSS technology, this latest filling, you know, lends even farther support to the notion. The patent goes into detail regarding, you know, the AI upscaling that, you know, could be, you know, implementing, and even includes some tasty diagrams to explain how it all works. So there's that, just like diagrams online and stuff you guys can check out if you want to go see how, like, obviously it kind of works and stuff. It's a little complicated type of source. I looked at the diagram. I was a little confused by looking at it. But it says here, essentially, it states that the native image of 540p, it can be upscaled via image up conversion, and therefore output at 1080p via the relevant display. Theory, with this, is that Nintendo would be able to release games that, you know, require less storage than, you know, those that would otherwise, you know, display it natively at higher resolution. The Switch has always had a trouble when it came to storage issues, because, you know, it's never had a lot of storage. Like, for example, whenever I bought 2K for the first time, I had to buy a micro SD card just to get 2K. And that was one game. I didn't have anything else on my Switch.
Yeah, the original Switch only came with 32 gigabytes of storage, and the OLED came with 64. So
yeah, it's not much at all. No. I get for little games.
Like, for Nintendo's games, that's fine. But if you want a third-party game like 2K, you're going to have to buy an SD card.
Yeah. And they're not that much. They're not really expensive. No, they're cheap. So. Yeah. You can get really high, bunch of storage just for, you know, maybe 40-50 bucks. You can get close to a terabyte or something like that. It's not really that expensive.
It's not bad at all.
But here's how the patent, you know, breaks it down and stuff. I'm gonna just kinda tell you guys this real quick. Image up conversion is a technique that allows for, you know, conversion of images produced in a first resolution. It says here 540p resolution or 960 by 540 with 0.5 megapixels. It's a higher resolution. 1080p resolution, you know, 1920 by 1080p with 2.1 megapixels. This process can be used to show images, you know, of the first resolution on a higher resolution display. So you can use, like, you can use a higher display TV or monitor with a higher refresh rate. I mean, you could obviously do that before, but it will be way smoother now. Right. When it comes to certain games and etc. It says here, thus, not this, thus, for example, a 540p image can be displayed on a 1080p television. And, you know, depending on the nature of the, you know, upconversion process, it may show, may be shown with increased graphical fidelity as compared, you know, to if the, you know, the 540p image were displayed directly with traditional liner upscaling on, you know, a 540 television. It would look completely different.
Yeah.
Compared to 1080p to 540, obviously that's a major difference when you... Just, for example, go to YouTube and go to the closest one to 540p. See how blurry it is. Switch to 1080. Bam. That's all you need. Like, it's completely different.
Yeah.
It says here, time marches on, and we only have just over 2 weeks until Nintendo lifts the lid on its new console with the Switch 2 Direct presentation on the 2nd of April. So it's literally in, like, 13 days. It's like 13, 12 days or something like that. So it's really close. I can't wait.
Either.
So we're probably going to get a release date.
I hope so.
I'm excited.
I'm thinking maybe June, but if not, September probably.
Yeah, probably. But it says here, we're expecting to find out more about the console and stuff like that. So obviously we're going to, you know, we're going to learn about the price and launch date and stuff eventually. And, of course, we're going to tell you guys, we have gaming in our, you know, podcast name for a reason. So, we're obviously going to, you know, tell you guys about it. But that's all I have for that. Not really much to it.
All right. Well, guys, that's all the topics we have. We appreciate you for listening. Follow all of our podcast socials, our Twitch Kick YouTube accounts, personal Twitch Kick YouTube accounts, our podcast Discord, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, our merch on TeePublic. Rylan, do you have anything else?
Just as we said, you know, check out all our socials, personal socials, all that. Also check out our sports, you know, podcast, Instagram. And we don't say this often, but we do have a Cash App if you want to support us. Even more than just to listen, you can send us, it doesn't matter how much money, but it'll help us out with quality of, like, the podcast, you know, just putting it back into, you know, obviously, quality and stuff like that. But other than that, join our Discord. You guys hate our Discord again, but, you know, I'll still say it. I'll say it until I die. Join our Discord.
All right. Appreciate you guys. We'll catch you in the next episode.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.